get back to it. It's Eric Carlstrom time. Professor Eric Carlstrom, emeritus, 30 years of geology. Geography? Did you teach geography too?
Physical geography was my main subject, and I did teach some geology as well, but mostly in the geography departments, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay. I don't know how much longer we have as a relatively cohesive society, because the relatively is fading fast, but have you ever seen anything in all of your studies, all of your readings over, you know, the millennia, to equal the rapidity and speed with which this is all being taken down?
It is truly breathtaking, and yet so many people with a normalcy bias seem to cling to the fantasy that everything's, you know, going to be just fine. I understand where these people are coming from. Some of them are my family and friends, but it's kind of alarming, really, that it's almost, you know, the three monkeys, you know, speak no evil, hear no evil, see no evil. As a strategy to be happy, you know. But yeah, we need to grow up. We need to be informed, as Thomas Jefferson said. I'll paraphrase: the nation that wishes to be ignorant and free wants what has never been and can never be. And that's, I'm afraid, where we are. But this ignorance has been imposed on us in very, very clever ways via our media and intelligence agencies, et cetera.
Devastatingly clever. And every step planned out, nothing just thrown out there randomly.
Yeah,
you know, all by design. Yeah.
Yeah, this is over a 100-year project now, I think, coming to consummation. And, you know, they're hell-bent now to get their new world order, one world government, which we have been warning about and trying to forestall. Well, I have, certainly, for many decades, and I'm sure you have, too. And many, many other people that we admire have been sounding the alarm. Now it's, like you say, coming down at breathtaking speed upon us. This is an Orwellian nightmare. This is 1984 on steroids. A fascist, totalitarian police state with our liberty stripped and our way of life radically altered. And as you know, these changes are going to be very painful for us, and many are dying.
You know, and yes, yeah. many are dying, many more than I think this audience would understand. But unless you've been listening to the coverage we try to bring three times a week to this horror, people would not believe it. They wouldn't believe. I believe it's 10 million minimum that have been killed already, and several tens of millions wounded, injured for life, and who are only getting worse. This is not a joke. And how fast it has gone. What we had just in the middle of the last century, and what we have now? Oh. I just did this with Gerald Celente. It's very interesting. There's a little minor phenomenon going on YouTube, I guess, and it's called, I don't know what you'd call it, reaction to music. There are people who are listening to music from the 50s and 60s, and the camera's on them. You hear the music, and they're reacting to it, and they've never heard it, like the Platters, okay? And this two Black Americans, a guy and a gal, and they put on the Platters, one of their songs, Only You, and their reaction is stunning. And the woman ends up saying, how did we get stuck with the crap we have now, basically, is what she said. And look what we've missed. She said, how could we miss that? Why? She was absolutely mind-boggled. And it was very instructive. I mean, here they are, their own African-American, you know, two generations ago, the contributions they made to our society and our culture were giant in many ways, and certainly musically. It's a shocker to see. The music was fantastic back then. It had lyrics that meant something. It had harmony. It had melody. What do they have now? It's all electronic product. It's garbage, junk, and I don't listen to it. I refuse. I don't want that in my head. But anyway, it's kind of fun to watch the reactions. I'll send you one. I sent one to Gerald, and you can watch them react. These are their own, you know, their grandparents, so to speak, and what they missed.
Yeah, the Ministry of Truth and Ministry of Culture and all the Orwellian equivalents have been erasing the past and the truth of the past, and also, of course, editing the culture, the arts, you know, to dumb us down. And as you say, rob us of really our heritage in terms of
they've stolen our cultural heritage. We had art, we had passion, we had wonderful things. It's gone.
Yeah,
young people will never know what they never knew. They can't. They can't.
It's in your mind. It's in my mind. And as long as we're here, Jeff, we can share. You know, to the best of our ability, and but of course they want to get. You know, I have to tell you a little. Well, I won't go there. But obviously they're targeting older people. They don't want people with the long memories and the wisdom and the perspective to be able to guide us out of this mess.
I got an email. Let me play a little bit of this. This 20-30 seconds. I just want people to hear again, you younger people. You've never heard this, many of you. And this is what they were talking about when they were reacting. The girl said, I can't believe. She said, how do we get stuck with the garbage we have now, basically? And we had this. And she said, this is incredible. Here, y'all know this, or most of you, but I want Eric to hear this.
Only
okay, you get the idea. I mean, we had so much culture that was enjoyable, really, by all ages, from, you know, kids to adults. This was what it was. Played over AM radios. Think about it.
Yeah, I guess we were fortunate in that sense, you know, in many senses in this country at the time. You know, we grew up, there was so much more available to us, much, much more freedom, much, much more trust among the people. But of course, then we kind of descend in this spiral, you know, from the assassination of, well, from the 60s, the assassination of Kennedy on down, you know, to 9/11, to the present, you know, phony war on terrorism, to the COVID, operation after another by the intelligence agencies to reduce us to a totalitarian continuity of government state. And I was hoping maybe we could, you know, since we are almost upon September 11th, the 21st anniversary, that maybe we could talk a little bit about that. As you know, I have five websites. I kind of call them the Toto Enterprises. You know, Toto's the little dog that pulls the curtain back.
Yes. Yeah.
And one of them is
only five websites, Eric. Only five.
Only five websites, but they're big.
You're skimping on us.
Mm-hmm. Well, you get a deal with GoDaddy if you have five. That's why I've not gone six or seven,
because
I could easily break up some of these to have more. But 911nwo.com, 9/11 New World Order, is something I started working on just a little bit after 9/11. And I was a full professor. I was, I guess, an associate professor at the time, about to be promoted to full professor. So I had tenure, which gives you, you know, the freedom, more academic freedom. You're not under the gun to be, you know, so much scrutiny that you'll be fired if you tackle one of these controversial issues. But so I wrote an article in 2002, Reflections on the Origins of 9/11, Three Scenarios. And at the time, I put my name on it. And I don't know how many of your listeners remember back to 9/11, but it was a time, this was trauma-based mind control, much like the Kennedy assassination. And the nation was in shock and fear. And there was great fear upon the land, and people were afraid to put their name on anything and question anything. I put my name on that, and it could be why I became a targeted individual, because these lists get circulated very quickly when things are online. I wrote another, and then I became one of a great many Americans trying to figure out what actually happened. It was quite obvious to me and many who had some, you know, perspective on U.S. history that this was not as it was portrayed. In other words, it turns out it's a false flag, state-sponsored synthetic terror act. The granddaddy of them all, which, of course, justified the ongoing global war on terrorism, or global war of terrorism. So many, many, many Americans were writing books, putting up websites, having grand jury investigations, having 911 truth movements. And I jumped into that. I bought many books. I bought many DVDs, which were out. I went to a number of these meetings that were all over the country. And the ones that I didn't get to, I would try to get the proceedings, you know, on DVD or something like that, so I could hear the talks. And then this became the basis for my investigation of my website, 911nwo.com, which I think pretty much solves the quote-unquote mystery of this intelligence operation I call Operation 9/11. And just for fun here, Jeff, I'll read up what it says under September 11 attacks Wikipedia. The September 11 attacks, commonly known as 9/11, were four coordinated suicide terrorist attacks carried out by the militant Islamic extremist network Al-Qaeda against the United States. On the morning of Tuesday, blah, 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 19 terrorists directed by Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden hijacked four commercial airliners mid-flight while traveling from the northeastern U.S. That's Wikipedia. This is, of course, the official narrative, and right. It was stupid then, and it's even more pathetically ridiculous now. And yet it's like, you know, listening to rap music instead of the real thing. I mean, this is a bald-faced lie. It's pure propaganda. It's easy to disprove. And the 751 posts on my 911nwo.com website not only disprove this, but pretty much prove what did happen. And yet, of course, we're not going to see that on Wikipedia. We're not going to be told that on the mainstream media. So I thought maybe, you know, in honor of the 21st anniversary, we might just revisit that event as a retrospective and hit some of the high points about what really happened. Because, of course, this we're told, would change everything forever and put us in a new world. And we know that it was really pretty much the same operatives that did did the JFK assassination and are pretty much behind the COVID and everything. You know, it's the city of London and Wall Street and the intelligence agencies. You know, if you want the axis of evil, you have to go to London, Washington and Jerusalem now. This is where it's coming from. Right. And it is the world financial elite, which, as we know now, you know, we certainly know our occultists and have a long-term plan for one world government. But I just thought it would be good to honor this event. I mean, 3,000 people were killed. It was a horrible event. We who are laboring under the lie, the big lie that they just keep forcing down, you know, our gullets here, we have to wake up. We have to grow up. We have to see the world as it is. And I'm sure you've probably done quite a few shows on this, Jeff, but would you be on board if I kind of go through some of the major findings?
Good idea. Yeah,
okay. Well, yeah, this is again 751 posts on my 911nwo.com website. I invite people to look at it. I did this 2002 article, and then I did another 2006 summary article, much longer. But by that time, the movement had been cognitively infiltrated, in the words of Cass Sunstein, the guy who wrote a book like that, who was one of the Obama advisors. And any big operation like that, there's three phases. There's the planning, the execution, and the cover-up. And the cover-up continues. I just read the Wikipedia post there. That's part of the cover-up. And I've got probably 40 or 50 books on this topic and about that many DVDs. And, being an academic, used to reading and writing and evaluating facts and putting together the best explanation, I think I can kind of give the headlines and draw out particularly a couple books, one by Webster Tarpley, a historian. 9/11, Synthetic Terror Made in the USA. He has five editions to this, and they kept getting better. Towards the fifth one, he was finding that there were like 46 or more military exercises or drills that were on the day of or leading up to the day of 9/11 that just happened by some amazing coincidence to flip live on the day of. And in other words, they mimicked just about every single aspect of this operation. And all of those exercises flipped live. And of course, the probability of that in the real world is zero. In other words, it can't be by chance. So he's able to identify these drills and which agencies were behind them. And this really, I think, really puts the spotlight on what happened and how it happened. Tarpley says that any such false flag operation has three phases or three main elements. You have to have moles within the government, like Cheney and Bush, the president. Bush was an incidental because he's not really kind of smart enough to handle this. Dick Cheney would have been part of it. Certainly Rumsfeld and many in the Pentagon would have been moles who actually were factions of the government that carried this out. Then you had the patsies, like John F. Lee Harvey Oswald, and in this case, Osama bin Laden and the 19 Saudi Gophers. And then, the real killers are professional killers, the military contractors. And he believes that this was, he shows which agencies were involved in it by their participation in these drills. And it's really quite phenomenal. Let me just read off a couple of these agencies that were involved in these drills, and it kind of clarifies things. The White House and Vice President Cheney, NORAD, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, actually the continuity of government was drilled and took place in Cheyenne Mountain, the NORAD headquarters, in this bunker underground, and this is probably, according to Tarpley, where the actual operation was conducted. Probably, he says, by military contractors, such as, for instance, Lockheed Martin. And that these people with their computer stations would have actually inserted the blips into the radar screens of the people at the airports, confusing them, false blips showing, airplanes going this way and that way to just confuse everything. He says the CIA and DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, the Pentagon, Army, Navy, Air Force. Air Force would have been the lead agency on this because of all the importance of the false planes and the hijackings and everything. The New York City Fire and Police Departments would have been participating. The mayor of New York City, Giuliani, would certainly be participating. These people, by the way, should be in jail. if you want to, you know, punish crimes. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the FBI, the Coast Guard, Pennsylvania local first responders and emergency managers. That's where, of course, another plane supposedly landed, but of course it didn't. That was a flimsy pretense. The FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, U.S. Department of Transportation, Canadian government, and about 50, 60 other agencies, which we'll call the interagency. And the drills would have included things like scrambling planes, you know, Operation Vigilant Guardian and Operation Amalgam 02 and 01. It would have effectively taken the fighter jets, which would protect that most critical airspace between Washington and New York, and put them up into Canada or the Pacific Northwest. And the reason being is that some of these fighter aces are trained to take matters into their own hands if there's a situation. And they couldn't have that. They had, you know, because some of these, a lot of the military people were not in on the coup, as it was a coup. So they had to get those guys out of the way. So they had all these drills that would take the real military experts and put them, you know, thousands of miles away so that they could go ahead and do that. And as we probably recall, no aircraft was scrambled after supposedly the first airplane hit for an hour and 45 minutes. And
it's true.
All these things then become explained then by the tremendous work of Webster Tarpley, at least in my opinion. So these drills then were to enhance confusion at the Northeast NEADS and NORAD and SEADS and all these government agencies. Basically, what we had was a coup in which
one of a succession.
Of course, the Kennedy assassination would be one as well. We had a coup which would fast track a certain agenda. And as we saw in a paper written by the neoconservatives, of course, that's a Jewish think tank. They prescripted this new Pearl Harbor in a 2000 article or white paper called Rebuilding America's Defenses. These neocons, by the way, who go by the name of conservative, actually a bunch of Trotskyite communists who have been controlling the nation for about half a century. And their goal was to double or triple the DOD budget from then $300 billion a year to $600 billion. Now it's over $800 billion, so that we could fight multiple theater wars simultaneously, et cetera. And they said it's unlikely that the American people would go along with this absent some catastrophic event like a new Pearl Harbor. Well, of course, this was the new Pearl Harbor. And as Senator Bob Kerry said, looking over his shoulder to a reporter's question, this has been 30 years in the making. Well, this is a 30-year plan, and in fact, some of these drills that were used are 10-year drills or more. If we look at the whole phony war on terrorism, we go back to the 1979 Jerusalem Conference on International Terrorism, led by Bibi Netanyahu, followed up by the 1985 Symposium of International Terrorism in Washington, D.C. And, of course, all of this, all the wars that were prescripted by the neocons, the PNAC, Project for New American Century, as they call themselves, the whole series of countries that we did invade, all of which we have invaded now except Iran, all of this then is prescripted in order to, again, secure oil in the Middle East for the oil companies and to create greater Israel or Eretz Israel for Israel, in other words, to control the area in the Middle East between the Tigris-Euphrates on the one side and the Nile on the other. And this has been a goal of Israel since Ben-Gurion became the first prime minister there in 1948.
Yeah.
So this is the long-term goal, and the U.S. has spent trillions of dollars in this phony war on terrorism to meet those objectives. And of course, the other aspect is now anybody's a terrorist that the United States government doesn't like. And any country now can be a terrorist, like Russia is now a terrorist government, and any individual can be a terrorist. And so this works not only for prosecuting a whole series of wars abroad, but also attacking and terrorizing your own citizenry, such as with the targeted individual program, the mass surveillance and everything from the Patriot Act and so on. So terrorism turns out to be the most lucrative of all frauds. And of course, 9/11 is the king of terrorist attacks. It's all a lie, and it all benefits the military-industrial complex. But basically, my findings are that there were no planes that hit anything. You know, the Pentagon was hit by a missile or a Global Hawk. World Trade Center buildings 1, 2, and 7 came down due to in the building explosives, plus probably mini nukes, plus directed energy weapons, per Dr. Judy Wood.
You're not leaving anything out. All right, it's all there.
Well, it is, yeah. And this is a tiny fraction of it too. As I say, I worked many years on this. Of course, the Wikipedia is not going to quote me, are they? Because it flies in the face of the official narrative. But the official narrative is quite pathetic. One of the most interesting things is that, no planes. Well, what was it? Well, you had video fakery. Some guy at his workstation could insert an image of a plane going into a building, like a cartoon, you know, the Roadrunner and the Wile E. Coyote almost.
Yeah.
And then feed it to CNN and... CNN was one of the major TV stations. United Airlines is one of the main. There were two main airlines, United Airlines and one other, and then CNN and one other network were the main networks that these intelligence operations fed into. And then from there, it went out to the others. One of the best compendiums of experts, I think, happened in Madison, Wisconsin, 2007, in a two-day conference called The Science and Politics of 9/11. And Tarpley was there, Dr. Judy Wood was there, Jim Fetzer was there, and Reynolds, the guy who's the no planes guy, and some of these video fakery people were there. And I transcribed their lectures in my website, but the whole thing is just a classic false flag operation. Mm-hmm. It's a war trigger event, and of course the design is to get the American people on board and hopping mad so that we will attack Afghanistan in this case, and then Iraq directly afterwards.
Sure. And it, a lot of people died.
Yeah, so the three, it's all just a cost-benefit analysis to the Lockheed Martin and the Pentagon. We lose 3,000 on 9/11, but guess what? We get $6 trillion in funding for foreign wars, and we get to kill a million Iraqis, and we get to, this is the great cost-benefit analysis of the people that really run the country. So to me, the most interesting thing here, Jeff, is that what Tarpley brought out, which I think is irrefutable, is that the what happened on the day of September 11th was continuity of government, COG, was actually implemented in Cheyenne Mountain at NORAD in that bunker for a day. And it was actually a colonel who was making the orders about scrambling jets and things like that. It wasn't Cheney, according to him. Cheney would have been playing a role. But what's interesting is that Cheney and Rumsfeld had, back in the 80s under Reagan, actually helped write up the continuity of government documents, which were then implemented on September 11th. Now, continuity of government means martial law, right? That means stay in your houses or we shoot you. Now, it could well be that this drill then for continuity of government was one in a long series going back to Operation Garden Plot in 1964 and then Operation Rex Readiness Exercise of 1984 and then
Rex
move up
84.
To... Yeah, Rex 84, that's Oliver North and all that stuff. And FEMA camps and all that stuff. FEMA was developed at that time as the federal emergency military authority, not the federal emergency management agency. So under Reagan and Bush, FEMA is developed in order to, again, impose martial law. Now, this is very relevant because we're sitting here in the fall of 2002, almost, just about fall, and we've got four flashpoints for nuclear war in the world right now. We've got a food shortage. We've got so many things that could trigger continuity of government martial law in this country, right? So I think this little discussion is probably worth having to show that there has been a long series of plans and a long process of planning that would help the government, so to speak, or the shadow government, which has been operating through the government, to trigger this martial law continuity of government. So those of us who are reading Wikipedia and the official narrative, we're living in la la land. You know, we're living in fantasy land.
Well, if I gotta say, I have to say, I always respect the rights of anyone to have their own opinion. I do disagree with you on the idea that no planes were involved with hitting the buildings. They were remote controlled and flown right into the buildings. That's pretty clear. And I understand all the arguments on both sides. I've been through them all. But I just can't walk away from the fact that hardware hitting a building is not going to knock it down. Those were demolitions. We know that. But there were planes. There were two planes that hit. It's not hard to figure out how. And we know now that they planned this whole thing and practiced it as Operation Bojinko. I think it was Indonesia or Malaysia. And they knew what they were doing. So they flew. Were there any people in the planes? I don't know. The one plane had clearly a large incendiary tank underneath it. You can look at the pictures of it and see it. And it went off and created a hell of a firestorm. But the planes didn't bring the buildings down. The buildings were brought down. It was a device. It was staged. However you want to look at it, with or without planes, the bigger picture is here that we were played once again for big money and big death. It's called war. That's what we did. And it's what happened to us. So anyway, I just want to make our listeners aware that there's room for all kinds of different views here, and always. I'm not discounting anything, but I do have my own opinions, and those were definitely airplanes that hit those buildings, no question. But the nukes, mini nukes, micro nukes, demolitions, you betcha. I had, what was his name? What was his name now? Doggone it, the first guy, or the last guy out of the building, he crawled under a fire truck and survived. He was in the basement, and there was an explosion in the basement as well. He was down there and rescued some people who were trapped. The basement went down 3-4 stories or more. Anyway, Rodriguez, Gonzalez, anyway, wonderful guy. Had him on a bunch of times. But this, look, it's a very sophisticated operation, no matter how you want to look at it or which side you want to come down on. And we were played. We were screwed is what happened. 3,000 lives lost, and look what we got out of it. A massive war, massive military-industrial complex profits, and a hell of a lot of dead people in the Middle East, among other things. Please go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think your point is well taken that, you know, honest, smart people can disagree about each of,
sure,
you know, so,
of course,
so many elements, you know. But
yeah,
again, the bigger point is that that's part of the operation, is to confound people arguing about this, that, and the other.
Keep them divided on the small, the small stuff. Don't look at the big picture.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, okay, so 2007, I go to the 911 Truth Conference in Chandler, Arizona. And by that time, there were kind of the truth movement was already splitting apart. You had 911 scholars with Jim Fetzer, Dr. Jim Fetzer, heading that up. Then you had Dr. Stephen Jones coming in from the University of Utah, and he had his group, you know, of scholars, and they were not getting along. You know, this is all kind of pro forma. This is how they do it. This is how they split groups. And Steve Jones wanted to say, oh, it's not, you know, it's Thermate, and it's not Thermite. And they got the whole group, you know, arguing about, you know, which technology was used, you know. Well, since their technology is so far ahead of what the public knows, that's a pretty good way to buffalo people and to get people arguing, you know. And after that particular at that conference, Jim Fetzer said, "Oh well, you got to look into Dr. Judy Wood's directed energy weapons hypothesis." And of course, I did that, and actually did have a chance to interview her.
I had her on the program here. I think twice. Went through her whole book. The book was minutely detailed and very interesting reading. Yeah.
Yeah, and her point would be that, you know, much like a whole new technology, nuclear weapons, was displayed to the world at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, thus putting on notice the nations of the world that look what we've got, look what we can do. She's saying basically this was similar. We have an exotic new weaponology now, directed energy weapons. Look what we can do. Watch out. Back off. We are way farther advanced in this area than you, and then as you say, she's the one who did so much actual research looking at 10,000.
Well, when Judy showed the pictures of the melted automobiles blocks away. Come on, folks. Look, there were obviously exotic weapons used in this operation. Many. It was a compendium of all kinds of advanced tech. So, yeah.
Yeah, agreed. And directed energy, she had to invent her own vocabulary, you know, because she called those cars the toasted cars because they look kind of, you know, just all mangled and rusted and just bent up, and she didn't know what to call them, so she called them, because you don't see this. We've never seen this kind of effect before. And we're dealing with, and she called lather, this kind of a steam-looking, billowing gray cloud that's actually going up the side of the building. Well, according to her research, you had molecular dissociation occurring because there is interference of different wavelengths of energy within a confined space, creating a new physics which actually causes molecules to blow apart. And so much of the building floated upwards, and she has the photos to prove that. And most of the building did not actually fall down. That is, the mass of the concrete and the girders and everything did not actually fall on the area right next to the building. This was a new physics that was demonstrated, and she would say this is a demonstration of free energy. So yes, they have free energy. Yes, but we can't have it, you know.
Not a chance.
No. Yeah.
So hey, we've had the ability for decades to actively, successfully, on demand, fragment H2O and pull the hydrogen atom off and use it for fuel. We can do that.
Yeah. Yes. Run
but
your cars.
You don't want to mess with the big petroleum, otherwise they'll kill you. Right?
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, it kind of is almost a psychological thing going on. In fact, that was the name of my 2006 paper, was Operation 9/11 was an inside job and a psyop. And then a summary and synopsis. And I got into as much of the detail as I could. And then I really got stuck because of this conference in Gilbert. or Chandler, excuse me. It was Gilbert, Arizona near Phoenix. And, you know, well, who do I believe? Do I, now I have to look into this directed energy weapons hypothesis. And, you know, that sets me back a few years, et cetera. So I didn't actually ever finish my definitive summary of what happened. Basically, what I did was I continued posting what other people thought, and, you know, including Tarpley and many, many others. And I think the information's all there, but I never was able to kind of wrap it up into a nice little book because I got sidetracked with other issues, as you know, Jeff. The information's there. And it has nothing whatsoever to do with the official narrative, which I think is for, you know, seven-year-olds or people with that mindset, you know, because it's so easy to disprove the government conspiracy theory. It is just such nonsense. And yet that's the world they want us to live in. They want to infantilize us, to kind of insult our intelligence, make us kind of degrade us with these stupid stories. Like,
well, they're very successful at doing it to a large degree, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You own the media. You own the minds of the masses. And that's the truth.
Yeah, yeah. And this I would just like to, you know, as you well know, because obviously you dug in and brought in some of the best researchers on this, you know, we have a lot of really good people doing good work on this. But, of course, the government was involved in a massive cover-up, and even to the point of, you know, taking down the people who were perceived as a threat to the government story. So this is always what happens. You know, the people like Carrie Mullis who come out with too much credibility against the official narrative, you sometimes pay a very high price. They get targeted, sometimes killed. And certainly I could have been put on a list as early as 2002 when my paper was you know, circulated on the internet. This is how it works. They use the internet to identify who's doing what, and if you're not doing the right thing, then one can find oneself on one of these lists, these watch lists. So I think that's part of the cover-up. In other words, knowing what everybody's doing, knowing what everybody's thinking, knowing who's a threat to the operation.
Yeah.
This is all part of it. So people like yourself, you know, you're living dangerously, and I'm sure you know, and myself as well, you know, because the powers that be want to make sure that they can control the narrative, at least with a certain percentage of the people. But this was a fantastic, ingenious event. But then there's another dimension to it, since we've got a few minutes left. There's a guy named S.K. Bain that wrote a book called The Most Dangerous Book in the World, 9/11 as Mass Ritual. Now, he did a lot of work on the Masonic symbolism that one finds in this operation, much like the JFK assassination. There was a lot of Masonic symbolism there. And apparently, I've talked to William Ramsey, who's written a book, several books about Aleister Crowley and whatnot, who's an MI6 Cambridge Satanist. And he claims, William Ramsey claims, that this guy, S.K. Bain, took a lot of his material from his book. But the point is that there was just an awful lot of Masonic symbolism here, including the face of the devil or Ahriman in the smoke.
What did you make of that? Was that CGI or Photoshop, or did there actually appear a face in that big smoke cloud?
I never could figure that out. Yeah, it's very difficult to know for sure, but I would guess that it was Photoshopped, but. You know, the computer.
It was almost too good, you know?
Yeah.
It was too good. But things happen. I don't, you know, you never know. I don't know.
Yeah, there's another great book by a guy named Christopher Story who wrote The New Underworld Order and talks about geomasonic.
He's passed now, as I believe.
He
died.
But brilliant economist in Britain. And he devoted a lot of time to this whole satanic symbolism in the 9/11 operation.
Yeah. I had him on a program. I had him on once, I think. And,
well, I certainly admire his work. Yeah, he's
yeah. Now he was very interesting. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I think he was ahead of most of us. I've gone through his book a couple times, and this rabbit hole goes very, very deep. I can understand why the normies would just leave it alone and accept the official lies. But the official lies are going to get us in deep, deep trouble if we don't call these people to account. In other words, the next operation, the next crime against humanity is just going to be worse than the last one. And that's the pattern.
Oh, it's right around the corner, ladies and gentlemen. It's coming soon.
Yeah, and of course, they've got the alternative of staging another, you know, terror event, a mass false flag event, that can galvanize people's fear and become the pretext for them to pull anything, including martial law. And so this is why it's so important, I think, for people to understand what happened on 9/11, September 11th, that this was a 30-year operation. That takes you back to 1971. What was happening in 1971? The war in Vietnam was going strong. The Pentagon was having its way with the American economy, and the CIA and the Pentagon and the military-industrial complex, the Lockheed Martins, the Northrop Grummans, Martin Marietta's, etc., were very much controlling our lives and our destiny as a nation. And this just came right out of that. And people need to understand the sweep of events, if nothing else, since World War II, because it has been such a radical progression of events.
Yeah.
Punctuated.
Well,
by
we talk about the plandemic, and I did play a clip on the program last October in which Dr. Robert Malone made it quite clear that this had been gamed for over 20 years in several different countries. And in other words, planned down to a T. They killed off the people that they didn't want around who might cause them trouble, like they used Kerry Mullis's PCR test, and it's not suitable at all. And he was saying it. You can find, if you don't believe this, look up Dr. Kerry Mullis, K-E-R-R-Y, Kerry Mullis, and look up PCR, and you'll see interviews, K-A-R-Y, sorry, I knew I was wrong on that, Kerry. He was killed about 3 months before they rolled this thing out.
Yeah.
2019. You know, they just get rid of people. They kill them. They die. Oh, he died of a heart attack or pneumonia. No.
The guy won a Nobel Prize. I mean, the guy was brilliant, but obviously expendable to the power structure. And we're dealing with a desperate and desperately evil people. I think this has become quite clear.
100% agree.
That don't have any regard for human life, that mock the suffering that they impose on, and mock us for the suffering that we undergo. And as a targeted individual myself, I'm totally, you know, bemused as an observer. I mean, how can there be such, you know, consistent hatred and malice, I mean, behind a program? Well, these people are not people like we.
They don't talk like we do about human life and morality. They talk very matter-of-factly. It's just business to them, just business. Got to remember that. Human life is just business to them.
Yeah, it's just an abstraction, really. I mean, and unfortunately, they get enough people, carrot and stick, bribery and blackmail, money, etc. Get enough people on their side that they continue to maintain their power, even though these incredible crimes. But the point is, I think, Jeff, is that, you know, State of the Nation and other reasonably good outlets, I mean, they've identified who these people are. And we can identify who the people are behind the COVID crime against humanity. We can identify who people are behind the targeting crime against humanity. You know, it goes to the Federal Reserve, the CIA, the CFR, and the world's financial elite.
It goes up from there. It goes up from there, and it actually goes off planet. That's my feeling. It doesn't stop here. There's an off planet component to this, I believe. But that's
well, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it because they act very inhuman.
Yep. Yes, they do. All right, my friend. Thank you for the update, and we will talk to you in 2 weeks. And in the meantime, take care and be safe.
Many thanks, Jeff. You too.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night. Professor Dr. Eric Carlstrom. Okay, gang. That's it for Thursday, tomorrow, Friday. Yeah, another week gone. Just like that. See you tomorrow. And you still have time to put a little food away. I really do think that there's a good chance if something very bad is going to happen, it will happen next month. All right. Talk to you tomorrow.